Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Confirmed, not eating mushy peas. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Marcus Spears coming up in about a half hour, our ESPN NFL analyst. Try and see if we can get him on the path towards having his first ever cannoli, since we found that out about him yesterday, in addition to taking a look at some of the key elements of the upcoming weekend in the NFL action, our Week 18. But, Chris, we've also got on Monday the College Football Playoff National Championship coming up, a rematch of a top five matchup between Alabama and Georgia from the SEC Championship. And I was looking up on in studio, I had the crew from College Football Live up here with Wendy Nix, Harry Lyles, Dusty Dvorak, all talking. And I saw a graphic go up on screen that just continued to reinforce how nervous I am about picking Georgia in this game. Because in the AP poll era, so I believe going back to like the 1930s, there have been right around five top five rematches in college football. Not a single team has won both games in all of that, which would, again, lean in favor of Georgia in a game where Georgia is already a consensus 2.5-point favorite in this game. All of this just makes me so afraid that somehow Nick Saban is again going to stomp on our hopes and dreams in this. Like, Chris, I want to look at this through your eyes here. As you look at this game right now and see what we're all seeing from the outside here, am I absolutely insane for looking at this and seeing football reasons to say that the Georgia Bulldogs, one of the most talented college football teams in terms of five-star ratings ever since we've been tracking this, am I crazy to think that they might be able to come back and right the wrongs from the SEC championship and win this thing?
No, you're not crazy to think that, but I could also understand why you're shook when it comes to picking against Nick Saban in the biggest game of the college football season, just because we've seen Nick Saban come up big in these spots, being able to develop game plans and execute at a level that most other teams couldn't dream of. So when you factor in the matchups and look at Alabama's talent, they're going to have the best three players in this game, Gojo. When you look at Bryce Young, Will Anderson Jr., and Jameson Williams, I mean, I know Georgia is a really talented roster top to bottom, but Alabama's got the three best players in this game. And I don't know, man. I have a hard time going against Nick Saban, even though they happen to be the underdog in this circumstance. And I get it. Georgia's going to have something on their mind because they lost a couple of weeks ago in the SEC championship game after everybody had the consensus that they were by far and away the best team in college football throughout the course of the regular season. But I don't know, man. I can't believe or I can't buy into Stetson Bennett being able to have the kind of productivity that we saw him against Michigan in the college football playoff semifinal. And if he can't have that kind of performance, if he can't replicate that, then I think Georgia offensively is going to have a tough time against that Alabama defense.
And I think that's where a lot of people understandably go in this, because what we saw in the SEC championship is still going to stand out for so many people, right? That was the Bryce Young game that cemented his Heisman Trophy win. That was the performance where he had a couple of those plays that reminded you in this sport, when all other things are close to equal, you go to that guy. The problem is, I also remember the LSU game, where Alabama rushed for, I believe, 6 yards the entire game. I remember the first half of the Auburn game, where it looked like that team was going to lose until they went 97 yards at the end of that game to tie that up and win it in overtime. And so I've also seen this Alabama team play well below that standard, especially up front, because the other player you mentioned in all of this, Alabama's got three great ones like you mentioned. N'Kobe Dean and that Georgia defense got a little bit embarrassed in that SEC championship game. And that is a scary unit to imagine ticked off heading into this one. And I have a feeling, based on what they did to Michigan, who was a much better matchup for them than Alabama, I think that's why a lot of this popular public sentiment is drawing on that. Now, for more Georgia propaganda on this show, why don't we head to a former Georgia Bulldog, Champ Bailey. Former Georgia cornerback, top 10 draft pick in college football and a pro football Hall of Famer, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning and talked about the way he looks at this game.
I feel like we got the players to beat them, but our coaches got to get over the hump. And I guarantee you Kirby would say the same thing. You know, he can sit out there and yell, but it's in those little situations, you know, fourth down to go for it, kicking a field goal or going for it, little things like that. throughout a game really determine wins and losses. And I think when Kirby wins those little battles within the game, we'll come out with a win. But until then, I mean, Nick Saban, he's Nick Saban. Experienced winner. I mean, come on. He's going to be tough no matter what. And he knows who this guy is. So, you know, we got a lot riding against us. But at the same time, man, it's about that time because the players, we definitely match up now.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And what he just mentioned there is so true, Chris. I remember we played, you know, for anyone that doesn't know or hasn't heard me talk about it yet, I don't know how, played Alabama in the 2012 BCS title game. It didn't go really well. But I always tell people, Chris, the most frustrating part of that game going out there was feeling like they had answers for everything we were going to do. Every play that we trotted out there, every check that we had, every bit of window dressing that we went through in that 40 days between the last game of our regular season and that BCS title game, the then BCS system, was, all right, we're going to dress this up a little bit differently. We'll have these wrinkles here and there. And every single thing we went to, they were prepared for, they responded, not reacted to, and somehow managed to stuff. And that's that feeling Champ Bailey is referring to when it comes to Nick Saban, who's lived this setting time and time again.
Yeah, it's not a good look when the opposing team is calling out the plays that you're running, whether you're on offense or defense, in the pre-snap goings on. So I definitely feel you on that. I've been in situations like that as well. But I think Champ brings up an interesting point when it comes to the extra layer on this game between Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, the former assistant for Nick Saban. And, of course, Kirby Smart, in those critical moments of the game, situational football, he's thinking about his favorite plays, his go-to staples. But he also knows that Nick Saban is aware of those things, too. So you might have the inclination as a coach, if you're Kirby Smart, to go away from some things to kind of break some of those tendencies, and you're putting your players in situations that they're not accustomed to being in when it comes to executing in those spots. So that's the part of this where you've got to weigh the comfort of your players in those six situations that are critical to the outcome of the game versus the expectation that the opposing coach might have for what your team is going to do. So I think that's also an interesting element to all of this. But as far as I'm concerned, the Georgia defense, which has been one of the most dominant units in all of college football, they're going to have to figure out a way to slow down Bryce Young. And to me, that means being able to get pressure on him. And they were not able to do that in the SEC championship game. They rushed four more often than not, and those guys were just not getting home. So I don't know if they're going to be fired up, Jalen Carter and company, but they're going to have to figure out how to put pressure on Bryce Young. And even if you got to send extra rushers, even if you got to rush to Kobe Dean or other guys from the second and third level, that has to be the priority for Georgia on the defensive side of the ball. You got to find a way to be able to get to number nine and affect him, because as he goes is how that Alabama offense goes.
If you go back and look at the games that we mentioned before, Auburn, LSU, you're exactly right, Chris. LSU blitzed Alabama almost twice its season rate. It was up in their faces, up at the line of scrimmage. And if you go back and look at that SEC championship game, Georgia did more of that in the second half and had more success. Now, the game was a little more out of reach at that point, so you can argue maybe Alabama wasn't as dialed in, but I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Can Georgia pack the line of scrimmage, send more than they can block, and make that Alabama O-line, who I think played the game of their season against Georgia in the SEC championship game, say, I dare you to repeat it. I dare you to go out there and do it again against this defense that was here week in and week out. Because I have said, we talked about this earlier in the week, Chris, there are three people in sports you're not supposed to ever bet against legacy-wise long-term, right? It is LeBron James, Tom Brady, and Nick Saban. And somehow, despite knowing better, despite having my own personal ass whooped by Nick Saban, I am getting ready to pick against him in this game here. Oh, it's a dangerous game, Mike. A dangerous, dangerous game.
You still got 48 hours to reconsider, my brother.
Believe me, it is weighing
heavy.
I'm
just saying.
Every time I say it, I get more nervous and I turtle up here. That is the legacy of Nick Saban. As we ask, who will raise the trophy? We find out Monday. The College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You can also catch myself, Jason Fitz, and a host of others with our digital pregame show on Twitter, YouTube, and all the other digital arms of ESPN. Coming up next, though, let's get to one quarterback oft forgotten that we haven't mentioned heading into this weekend that has a perfect record against his current opponent in a playoff or bust game. Next on ESPN Radio.
Number one, Alabama. Number three, Georgia. This is the College Football National Championship, presented by AT&T.
Say my name. All the nights I've dedicated to the king.
Coverage begins Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. This is ESPN Radio.
Danny Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Marcus Spears coming up here in about 10 minutes as we look ahead towards Week 18 in the NFL. And this one's interesting to me, Chris. We've talked so much about the Los Angeles Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders, almost defined, flexed into Sunday Night Football, a true win and you're in Week 18. Both of these teams playing for their playoff lives. I would say stakes-wise, of clear-cut stakes, because we'll get into, there's a bunch that, as Wink Martindale said about his Baltimore Ravens, all we need is a win in a three-team parlay. What an incredible line, by the way. You know Wink so well, Chris. That was an outstanding bit of sound from him.
That's my dude. I'm never surprised by what comes out of his mouth, because he's got a way of being able to say things, and it's just, you know, that's who he is, man. He's a genuine dude. Who he is in front of the cameras is who he is when he's in the locker room, when he's in the meeting rooms. So I'm not surprised that he framed it that way, but it does pretty much encapsulate what the Baltimore Ravens playoff chances are, which is next to nil.
Yeah, we can get into the longer playoff odds that some teams have coming up in Week 18 this NFL weekend when we get to the three-team parlay kind of folks. But for this game between the LA Rams, the San Francisco 49ers, this one is how this goes. The Rams have a playoff berth locked up, but they need to win or have the Cardinals lose, and they win their division. They win the NFC West. ESPN's FPI gives them a 77% chance to do so. The 49ers need a win or a Saints loss to secure a spot in the playoff. So, Chris, both of these teams, very tangible benefits to them going out, playing their asses off, and winning this game here. The Niners can win and get in, make that easy on themselves. And the Rams are vying for the chance to win this division potentially here. And all in the middle of that is Jimmy Garoppolo. Missed the last game due to injury. We saw Trey Lance, their rookie third overall pick, go out and do some good things, especially in the second half of that game here. But as we look at this right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, if he is available, Chris, is it that easy for you as to say, yeah, go out and he's the one you want starting here?
I don't know, man. It's going to have to pass the eyeball test with me, and that involves seeing what he looked like in practice with that ligament injury, because if he's not feeling comfortable throwing the football, then that could present a real problem for Kyle Shanahan. Now, I know the 49ers offense wants to major in that outside zone, and so I expect to see a heavy dose of that in this matchup, because it is a win and end type of situation for them. All the stakes, they got to push all their chips to the middle of the table. But I can't ignore what I saw from Trey Lance in that game against the Houston Texans and the elements of the offense that just weren't present when Jimmy G was under center. Being able to see Trey get on the perimeter of the defense, more bootlegs, more sprint outs, and then the overall arm talent, it's just a different level. That touchdown pass that he threw to Deebo Samuel, that's not a throw that Jimmy Garoppolo can make. So there's a different element to that. But then we're also talking about a different style of football. It is playoff style of football, and Jimmy G has a lot more experience than Trey Lance. So I don't know, man. This is a tough call by Kyle Shanahan, and a lot of who ends up getting the lion's shares of the snaps at the quarterback spot is going to depend on what it looked like this week.
I'd say if there's any doubt, Chris, I'd feel pretty comfortable with them throwing Trey Lance out there. And this is Jimmy Garoppolo, who is 5-0 against the Rams in his career as a starter here out in San Francisco. I think you and I both believe that has a lot more to do with Kyle Shanahan than it does with Jimmy G. But credit,
yeah, Shanahan owns Sean McVay. Owns him.
It's been abundantly clear. I will give Jimmy G his credit, though. When he has been healthy and on the field, he's been a quarterback that has been a part of a lot of winning football. And for Trey Lance, we do have the caveat that what he did last week came against the Houston Texans, who we've talked about. David Culley's gotten a lot out of that bunch, but still, as a roster, it's certainly not the most talented. Trey Lance, 16-23 for 249, two touchdowns, and an interception in that game. And Chris, it's also equal parts what they're getting ready to go up against, because Jimmy G banged up at all and unable to move. That's the last guy I want when Aaron Donald is coming home. 6.5 sacks in his last 6 games. He's been back to being the wrecking ball. And to your point, that added element to Kyle Shanahan's offense of being able to do as much of the mobile passing as Trey Lance was able to do, I think is a huge part of this game against them.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. And the Los Angeles Rams are tops in the NFL in pass rush win rate. So it's definitely a scary proposition when you talk about a banged up Jimmy G being behind center, knowing that he's not really a mobile quarterback. He doesn't have that threat of being able to utilize his legs. And Gojo, as a defensive lineman, I could tell you the game plan against a quarterback that has the ability to escape pressure and to extend the down, to get out there and convert first downs with his legs, it's a lot tougher than it is going up against a guy that you know is going to be a statue in the middle of the pocket. So, I mean, you can throw that Los Angeles Rams defense a little bit of a curveball if you're talking about playing a guy that's a relatively unknown commodity in Trey Lance, a guy that not a lot of tape out there exists on him. It does put a little wrinkle in it if you're Kyle Shanahan. And let's face it, it's more of what you want your offense to look like anyway if you're that 49ers offensive coaching staff. So, I'm with you. I think I would probably push Trey Lance if Jimmy G isn't close to 100%. But again, it comes down to what it looks like throughout the course of the week. Now, we got word that Wednesday, Trey Lance got the lion's share of the rep, the overwhelming majority of the reps. And you know that that's a big install day in terms of your first and second down game plan. So I don't know, Gojo. It's a situation where John Lynch, their general manager, said both of those guys will be ready. But if it happens to be a situation where you feel like Jimmy G is compromised and he can't bring you the type of productivity in the passing game that you're looking for because of that ligament in that thumb, then you got to go with Trey Lance.
Lots on the line for the 49ers. Again, as we said, this matchup with the Rams, outside of what we're going to see Sunday night between the Vegas Raiders and the Chargers, I think likely the most directly impactful game of Sunday, San Fran and the Rams. Coming up next, though, we got to take a look at the broader scope of this weekend here, from winning you're in and the potential for Derek Carr to take that next step forward to what we could continue to see atop this NFC playoff race. We'll check in with Marcus Spears after this word from Body Armor. All right, guys, let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink that's hydrating your active lifestyle. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. And comes in a bunch of delicious flavors. You got peach mango, tropical coconut, strawberry lemonade, all fantastic. Body Armor Light, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, if you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Let's introduce Marcus Spears to cannolis next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Danny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about some new stuff that Antonio Brown said coming up in about 10 minutes. The gift that just refuses to stop giving, no matter how much we ask it to, has been back on display today. Got a podcast platform this time to work.
Come on, AB. Come on, man.
I promise it is every bit of what you would expect from Antonio Brown at this point. So we got that coming up. But first, we got to handle important show business around here. For anyone that missed it yesterday, we want to play you this clip. There was a whole war over cannolis that went on at the Worldwide Leader yesterday. Dan Orlovsky sparked this off by saying that he didn't like cannolis, thought they were trash. And so, of course, we all had to weigh in. And what it produced was this moment yesterday on NFL Live. We had Field Yates, Keyshawn Johnson, Dan Orlovsky, and Marcus Spears. And this was the reaction when Field Yates looked to Marcus for a lifeline in this debate around cannolis.
So Dan Orlovsky, great on Twitter, not so great with his food takes, as he says, quote, want to be honest here, and he puts the air quotes around this, respectfully, cannolis do not taste good, ever. Swagoo, come correct with this man. Yo, what is he talking about?
Be my family right here.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother, hold on one second. This is a cultural barrier. I don't know what cannolis are, fellas.
I don't know what they are.
So as we welcome in Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst and co-host of Swagoo and Perk, the podcast on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, in the last 24 hours since this happened, I know it's been a big outpouring here. Have you managed to track down a cannoli yet and change this?
I have not, MG Jr. And first of all, I don't like y'all bringing me in like that, bro. Like, that was a moment of weakness. That was a moment of honesty and truth. And I feel like I'm being attacked because I don't know what a cannoli is. I'm from Louisiana. You can go to Louisiana, you won't find a cannoli. If you say cannoli, people will think you're from another country. Okay? So let me get that out first. I don't know if I'm big on a cream-filled pastry. I've never been that type of guy. But because this has started such a firestorm, I might have to try one. I'm probably going to hate it, but I'm going to try it.
Well, big fella, I was going to try to facilitate you trying one, but when I went to find a spot that would deliver some cannolis to your doorstep this afternoon, I couldn't find a bakery or a restaurant that could do so. So the only conclusion that I was able to draw from that is you live in such a bougie neighborhood that they don't allow unsolicited delivery drivers to be able to come in there and bring you some cannolis. I tried to facilitate your greatness, bro. I tried to introduce it to you.
C2.
I just couldn't make it happen.
C2, you, hey man, I come as humble as I know how. But you know when they give us that bread, we put them damn gates around our neighborhood. I don't want nobody just coming up in here, man.
At least you keep it at 100 with me, big fella. At least you keep it in real. I appreciate that.
That's all we can ask for. Marcus, I hope you know this is not an attack. We just want to check on our buddy here, man. We understood you said you didn't have a cannoli. We wanted to try and make that happen if possible. So this comes from a place of love. We totally understand it here. We're going to try and get this right.
Thank y'all for being my friends and being here for me, man, because I really just don't know what I would do without you, because the cannoli thing had me through for a loop. I wanted to help Babyface. That's what I call Phil Yates, but I didn't know what to do in that moment because I didn't know what the hell they were, fellas.
Here's the one thing I will say, Mark. When it comes to food takes, just go the opposite of Dan Orlovsky, man.
Yeah.
Just go respectfully.
Oh, 100%.
Respectfully, go the opposite of what Dan Orlovsky's talking about.
Say respectfully. His food tastes are dumb and stupid. Except for the cannoli one. I don't know if it's good or bad, but all of the rest of them are terrible.
Yeah, we're going to have to spend a whole other day talking about Dan Orlovsky's god-awful chocolate chip cookie takes. As we're talking to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, though, we should probably look ahead at Week 18 a little bit. And, Marcus, I want to look at you're in Chris's former team, the team that drafted both of you guys in the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen their list of players that will be out for this game continue to grow. Why do you think they're still going to trot out Dak Prescott and some of the rest of these starters in a game that can do very little to improve their postseason stock?
MG, to answer your question real fast, I think it's because they've been poor offensively. All right, that's like the obvious. But the other part of that is, me knowing Dak, he probably said, I'm playing. I hope it's one of them situations where you treat it like a preseason game. Listen, man, I don't care if the Cowboys are the 5th seed, 6th seed. They getting in the playoffs. That's all I care about, okay? Because we all know that once you get in, you got an opportunity to get it done. C2 is a Super Bowl champion. He understands. Dude, all you got to do is be better for 3 hours on whatever day you're playing. It ain't about who been the best team for 17 weeks and who got this and who got that. But I think because of the struggles offensively, that they want to at least see something good happen leading into this game. Now, what gives me pause, man, and what people don't give the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of credit for, they got some pass rushers up there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on the interior with Fletcher and Javon Hargrave, but Barnett on the outside, Sweat, who re-upped this year. That's a phenomenal rush. So without Tyron, you get a little bit concerned, but I want to see this run game get going and maybe a series or two. Usually I'm like, man, sit the man down. You know, don't do it. And I thought about the chain reaction of the guys that's being out. And maybe it may come to a different decision because so many of your starters are out. But ultimately, I don't think we would be having this discussion if we hadn't seen them struggle offensively like they've been doing.
Mark, let's take it out to the left coast. The only true win and end game in Week 18, the Chargers visiting the Vegas Raiders. The Chargers happen to be the favorites in this matchup. Feet to the fire, who you picking to get to the tournament out of this game?
Man, I'm taking the Chargers, C2, and it's a bit emotional for me because I would love for the Raiders to get in the playoffs after everything they've been through. And I don't know if I've been more impressed with a player this year more than Derek Carr, man. Just from how he's handled everything that's transpired, his off the field, his interviews, but ultimately being a player in the fourth quarter that you can depend on when we get on the field. Like, the clutch gene has been a part of his story this particular season, and that's the reason they even have a chance for a play-in. He finishes Cleveland off. He finishes the Colts off, which was a game that everybody thought they would go in and lose. So I don't think it's just, you know, it's a divisional opponent, obviously, and we all know that that's not easy. But I think the Chargers are getting right at the right time. Like, they got Linville Joseph back with their run defense was struggling. They got their big stalwart back in the middle. You look at Asante Samuel Jr., who was playing well and was showing us that he was going to be a budding star coming back off injury. And they got that pass rush going last week with Bosa. And then you look offensively, Austin Ekeler got going. Justin Herbert looks a little bit more comfortable. Mike Williams, they create a lot of matchups. And we know the Raiders are going to sit back in zone. And the one thing that the Raiders will have to do if they have any opportunity to win this game is Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue, Darius Faialun. Those guys got to rush relentlessly. And they got to make Justin Herbert very uncomfortable. But I just think the Chargers are the better team, and I think the matchups that they have from an offensive standpoint gives them the advantage. But I can't lie, fellas. Like, I know we analysts and we got to keep it real. I picked the Chargers because my analyst hat was on. But emotionally, I would love to see the Raiders get in the playoffs just from – I guess feel good and the things that they've been through to see that perseverance pay off for those boys, man.
Yeah, what Derek Carr and Coach Bisaccia have done in the face of all that tumultuousness out there in Vegas this season has really been impressive, especially in this stretch down towards the end of the season that put them in position for this to even be a win and you're in type situation.
Hey,
here.
Hey, fellas. Wasn't that so sweet by me? I was a nice guy just now.
That was.
You were.
Pretty amazing.
The softer side of Marcus Spears coming out on Friday evening.
I know, man. Everybody be telling me I'm hard. And, why you be on Baker so much? And why you hate on our team? I call the Dolphins pretenders. They said Tuanon was going to come after me. All of this crazy stuff, man. I like seeing these dudes have success, man. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it goes beyond the field, and both of you know this. We all play at the highest level, man. Sometimes you know how hard it is to just prepare for a game in a normal week without distractions. And the Raiders are sitting here 9-7 with an opportunity to get in the playoffs. I just believe that's to be applauded.
Noted nice guy, Marcus Spears, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
I got a heart.
You got a big heart, Marcus. No matter what you have or have not tried food-wise here, check out Marcus and his big heart on NFL Live. Download, subscribe, and review Swagoo and Perk Junior. As well. What's up, Marcus?
I know y'all got to go to a break, bro, but stop eating them nasty-ass Oreos and mayonnaise, dude. That ain't good for you.
Tell him, Mark.
Listen, all I can say is I have done a lot worse things to my body than that, so that barely registers on the Richter scale. But I'm going to try and be better because I've got to be better because people care about me, Marcus. I appreciate you.
Much love, my brother. Much love to both of you, my brothers. May y'all enjoy this great Friday, man.
You do the same, man. Enjoy week 18. Marcus Spears, kind enough to give us some time on the Goodyear Hotline.
Mike, when Dion Warwick and Marcus Spears are telling you the same thing, I mean, you got to evaluate a lot of your life choices, bro.
Yeah, I got to start to get my soul right here. This is not where I want to be when Jesus comes back.
Not to mention, you don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of those people down under either. They take a hard line approach with things.
No. Me and the kangaroo folks right now, not on a great page right now. So coming up next, I'm going to try and get my house in order, but I promise you the person that we're going to talk about next got even bigger issues than I do. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Sports Radio, ESPN.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Berman, and welcome aboard to the ESPN Radio Network.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Andy Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Our thanks to Marcus Spears, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear hotline. Chris, we have been dealing in the last couple of days with Antonio Brown, his dismount from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a disagreement on the sideline between him and Bruce Arians led to him walking off the field, tossing his shirt into the crowd, and ultimately getting kicked off that team, and then released 4 days later by the Tampa Bay Bucs. Now, that's all going to continue to be complicated as Antonio Brown might have an injury that requires surgery. We've seen statements from him and his legal team. But Chris, he has now taken aim at Tom Brady in two consecutive days here. The other day, using his Instagram story to light up Tom Brady's longtime trainer, Alex Guerrero, saying he sought to get back $100,000 of money because he hadn't had the services promised to him. And now Antonio Brown went on the Full Send podcast and talked about people asking, you know, listen, Tom Brady was the guy that took a chance on you going down there. Why are you doing this? And his response, if Tom Brady's my boy, why am I playing on a prove it deal? And then went on to say, let's talk about who the best receiver is on that Buccaneers team, and claimed that it was still him. So, Chris, he just continues to, as I said, burn the boats. Because once he pointed this back at Tom Brady, who took a chance on him when nobody else wanted to have this dude who was a total off-field liability on the field, now he's made it abundantly clear, man. We talked about messing up between the light lines. Messing up in that locker room is probably going to go just as far for AB right now.
Yeah, Tom Brady took a chance on AB not once, but twice, lest we not forget what happened in New England in that three-week stint that Antonio Brown was up there. He was the one that messed that up. He was the one that had a domestic violence situation pop up and then him having contact that his attorneys advised him against with the victim in that circumstance. This is all Antonio Brown. The reason why he's on a prove-it deal is because he's proven that he's untrustworthy when it comes to organizations making firm commitments to him. And so the thought being, down at Tampa, let's keep that leash tight on Antonio Brown because we know that he has the potential to go off the rails. And in a spot where the Bucs really needed him, guess what happened? AB went nuclear. Now, I'm not going to absolve Bruce Arians of blame in this situation.
Nope.
Because a coach saying to go F off or F yourself, that's never going to be met well by any player. But Antonio Brown didn't have to take his helmet and shoulder pads off, throw his undershirt in the crowd, jump at Jackson in the end zone, and chuck the deuces. Those are things that were well within his control. If he had a legitimate gripe with the organization and there was a disagreement about how to manage his injury, you have avenues that you can utilize in order to go through the grievance process and get your issue that way. He chose not to do that. He made it a public spectacle, and now all of a sudden he just wants to take shots at everybody down there in Tampa. There's a reason why he cleared waivers today, Gojo. It's because teams are looking at Antonio Brown, and although he does have the potential to be productive, they don't necessarily see him as a guy that's worth the risk, especially when you now factor in the injury concern as well.
They're looking, and listen, the NFL is a league, and you know this, Chris, built on the hubris of coaches to say, hey, if you couldn't make it work with that talented guy, I'm a great coach. I can make it work with that dude. There's plenty of people with that ego. They're looking at a team that just won a Super Bowl with their head coach, with the greatest quarterback of all time. And I got to imagine everybody involved is looking and saying, if you're willing to do this to Tom bleeping Brady after all of this, there is nothing you won't do to us over on our side. That has become abundantly clear now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Gojo, here's the thing. Who's to say that there won't be a team next year that can talk themselves into Antonio Brown being a possibility because they feel like they're a title contender and they're a reserve receiver away from being able to make that happen? And let's face it, Antonio Brown was great for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. He's a model citizen, all that stuff. It ended up leading to a championship. I could see a team in the future, once he gets past this injury issue, that could talk themselves into bringing AB in.
Oh, yeah. Listen, not out of the realm of possibility at all. Like we've heard so many people say, while you and I didn't think of it originally here, this is a league that time and time again rewards talent above all else. So we've heard plenty more from AB. Coming up next, though, we'll see if someone can talk me out of picking Georgia in the college football playoff next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.